I don't know if it happens to you in your Bible studies or not. Things that I've heard from a child, I've been very wary over the years to just take everything that I heard at face value from preachers in Bible studies and so forth, and I've always tried, and sometimes I don't do a real good job, and sometimes it sneaks up on me. But I've always tried to go back and really look at passages and consider them and really see what they're saying. And sometimes we're misled a little bit because of somebody else's misunderstanding. That is inexcusable. It happens, but we shouldn't be content just because of something we heard. And our understanding needs to be our own understanding, and so it is. As I bring these lessons, you look into what I'm bringing. I may be off from what it is that my understanding has come to as far as the scriptures. But I want to ask you, and you add this up with me as we look at a very, very familiar passage of scripture, and it's Acts 2 and verse 41. And we recognize this, of course, as the day of Pentecost. And Peter is preaching his sermon, which begins in about verse 15 or so and continues on. The real meat of it starting about verse 22. And as he comes down to verse 36 of Acts, the second chapter, he gives the accusation against the Jews that are present there that had crucified Jesus. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that that same Jesus whom you have crucified is both Lord and Christ. Verse 37 says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? Very familiar answer, of course, that we all know. Verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. As we come on down then to verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added. And I wonder if we've really considered that thought, they were added. We see the term used in Scripture quite often. When we go back to Acts 5 and verse 14, and it says, and more than ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Daryl, you got your multiplication there with multitudes. When we look in Acts 11, verse 24, it says, for he was a good man, I believe this is speaking of Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. In Galatians 3, verse 9, we see that same thought of being added. What was the purpose of the law, or why then the law? And reading from the ESV here, it was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come, to whom the promise has been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. And as it is with all passages of Scripture, even though you might have similar wording, such as the word added that we've seen to this point, in Acts 2 verse 41, Acts 5, 14, Acts 11, 14, 11, 24, and Galatians 3 and verse 19, you have to look at the context to determine what is being stated, what is meant by the use of that word. I want you to consider with me from this very familiar passage of Scripture, Acts 2 and verse 41, what about the thought of add here in Acts 2 and verse 41? And again, this is from the King James Version. We'll finish now the rest of that reading. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And you will notice there that the words unto them are in italics, and so they are added by the translators. So if that wasn't there, it would read, and the same day there were added about 3,000 souls. I want you to look at it from the ISV. So those who welcomed his message were baptized. That day about 3,000 people were added to their number. Wherever you look at that, there is an assignment now that is given, where just the pronoun existed in the King James, unto them, an assignment is given, which the ISV is going back and relating some addition to another body of people. And then you look over in Acts 2 and verse 41 in the English Revised Version, or excuse me, the Easy Read Version, And there it says, then those who accepted what Peter said were baptized. On that day, about 3,000 people were added to the group of believers. And this agrees with what the ISV says in the assignment of who the pronoun is that is added by the translators back in the King James Version. But I want you to consider something with me. What were these added to, those that were baptized, what were they added to, or were they added to anything? I want you to think about that. And I'll tell you that from a child, I heard this taught, and the preacher would, many of the preachers that I heard preach this say, well, they were added to the number of believers that were already there that had waited 10 days until the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, 120 being the number of them, and we'll see that in just a moment in Acts 1st chapter and verse 15. And I heard that preached throughout my life. And I got to thinking about these. Is that really what is stated? I want you to consider that thought with me and see what the Scripture says. Some say that the unto them in the King James Version and the were added to their number in the International Standard Version and the to the group of believers in the Easy Read Version were those mentioned earlier as in Acts 1 and verse 15. And we see where it says, in those days Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120 and said. And of course from that point forward, Peter presents to the apostles the need to fill then the vacancy that was left by Judas. And we see that context all the way through the last verse, verse 26, if not mistaken, in the first chapter of Acts. Well, King James Version in Acts 1 verse 15 says, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and the number of those together were about 120. The word disciples in the Greek is mathetes. And Vincent says, even though it is that way in the King James Version where it is translated disciples, the best text read brethren, adelphos in the Greek. And then wherever you look at the word brethren, adelphon in the Greek, in the Codex Bazai, Robertson says it has disciples. And so there's disagreement as far as the manuscripts are concerned, whether it is brothers or whether it is disciples. Think about this with me for a moment. Disciples being a learner, pupil, and disciple. And I want to ask you this in connection with the 120 that are described either as disciples or as brothers, if they fit that bill that is being described here in Acts 1st chapter verse 15 by the definition of the word disciples. Were they learners? Yes, they had been. And there were several that had been with Christ from his baptism until he was taken up. Matter of fact, two more named beside the apostles that were present at that time on the day of Pentecost, and Matthias and Barsabbas. Those two were named. And of course, Matthias became then the apostle to take Judas's place. Were they learners? Yes, they were. Were they pupils? Yes, they were. Were they the disciples of Christ? Yes, they were. What about if they were called brethren, adelphos? A brother, whether born of the same two parents or only the same father or mother, doesn't fit there. Some did. Of course, James and John were brothers of the same family. Having the same national ancestor, belonging to the same people or countrymen, it fits that, doesn't it? They were brothers, certainly, in that sense. Any fellow man, they were in that sense, a fellow believer, and it even could be in that sense too, in connection with them being disciples of Christ Jesus, brethren in Christ. And so we see how those terms certainly would fit in the definition and how they were described when you look back to the Greek, whether it be disciples or whether it be brothers. But that thought is presented in these other versions that we've already read. They were added to their number in relationship back to Acts 1 and verse 15, or added to the group of believers, which relates back to Acts 1 and verse 15, by those that presume that the church was in existence prior to Pentecost. And in my studies, I found the usual passage that those want to, that those people want to use that say the church was already in existence before Pentecost, they use 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. And notice what that says. It says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles. So the apostles were already in place. That office was filled in Acts, the first chapter, had all 12 present. So therefore, the church was in existence before the day of Pentecost. And that's the summation that many make. It says, set some first in the church, apostles and prophets and teachers and so forth. But I want you to note that this is about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that was set in the church, not the origin of the Lord's church and who was in it. These were the miraculous gifts to those that were in the church. And again, not the beginning of the church, nor the origin of the church is in consideration by that context. But are they, the 120 of Acts, the first chapter, verse 15, are they the ones being added to, as mentioned in Acts 2 and verse 41? I want you to notice this with me, if you would. The word "were added," and the word is one word. Even though there's two in the English, it's one word. And that word is prosthemi. And what it means is to put to add, to join to, gather with any company, and then the number of one's followers or companions. And I want you to consider this again. Even though you have words that are used in Scripture in several different places, you have to look at the context in which it is used in order to make determination of what is being meant or what is being mentioned there. And whereby I look at Acts 2 and verse 41, and I think about the beginning of the church starting on the day of Pentecost, and not prior, not before, and we'll know some passages in just a minute concerning that, I go back and I look at this definition of the word added, prosthemi, the number of one's followers or companions, I think best fits the definition of what is being spoken of in Acts 2 and verse 41. And I'll show you why. The reading from the CEV version, I think, is most accurate. When you look at Acts 2 and verse 41, it says, on that day about 3,000 believed his message and were baptized. Period. There was really nothing more to add to that. Add. That is a play on words. And I want you to consider why. The church was not in existence until Pentecost. And look at this by prophecy to start with. Isaiah 4 verses 3 and 4. Isaiah says, and he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem. And when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughter of Zion and cleansed the bloodstains of Jerusalem from his myth by a spirit of judgment and by a spirit of burning. That was prophetic as in connection to the coming of the church starting at Jerusalem. You remember what Jesus said in Acts the second chapter, in Luke the 24th chapter to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. Go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed with power from on high. And from there then you will preach the repentance and remission of sins, beginning at Jerusalem. And this ties in with what Jesus gave as far as the instruction that he gave to his apostles before he ascended from this earth to sit at the right hand of majesty on high. Notice what is stated in Micah 4 verses 1 and 2. It says there, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains. Stop right there for just a moment. That is not the church that he is speaking of there. That is the rule and the authority. The mountain of authority of God's rule would be established, and it is used as a simile, as a metaphor rather, in connection with it is the highest of them. It is the highest of authority that exists. And then he goes on and says, and it shall be lifted above the hills, and the people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Let us go to where there is authority from the Lord, and says to, and now he starts talking about the church, to the house of Jacob, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Again, pointing to the day of Pentecost, not prior, but pointing to the day of Pentecost. And then Peter himself, in his sermon that he gives, explanation rather, starting here in verse 16, you remember that those from all the different nations that were Jews, that were present there at Jerusalem, heard the apostles speak in other languages. They heard them speak in the languages of men, knowing that these were just foolish Galatians, unlearned. And they made the statement, how do we hear these wonderful things? And then others mocking said, well, these are drunk with new wine. Peter says, these are not drunken with new wine as you suppose, but this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, Acts 2 and verse 16. In the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood, fire, vapor, smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, moon into blood, before the day of the Lord comes. He's not talking about the end of time. Before the day of the Lord comes. The great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is as Peter is assigning what is taking place there on the day of Pentecost, that which had been prophesied of the church establishment on that day. It coming together just as Jesus gave instruction to his apostles, go and tarry at Jerusalem until you're endowed with power from on high. Note what one brother said on this passage. He said, when we add 1 plus 1, what do we add them to? We add them to nothing. We add them together. Take as long a list of figures as you like, add them to what? Add them to nothing. Add them together, and when you do, you have the sum total of what has been added. James, you recognize the fellow that said that? I'll give you his initials. R.L. Bob Craig. So he made comment on that.
I remember.
Yeah. He made comment on that. I found that, took a little digging, but I found that somewhere in the lurches of my memory from long ago. And he makes that statement. He makes the point concerned, and you think about it, and when we use the word add, that is the common way of using the word add. And as we go on, we see then that there's a different aspect now to the word add, because when the day of Pentecost come and you had believers and you had the church, wherever that was in place, then something can be added to that. And we notice that when we look in Acts 2 verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In the ESV, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Added to what? The church. The church. Acts 2 and verse 47, Young's literal translation, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to those being saved every day to the assembly. He doesn't use the word church. He takes the word ecclesia there and translates it assembly. Still proper, still correct. Now there was something to add to. Because the church was in existence. The sum total of the number in Acts 2 and verse 41 described the beginning of the church. Not that which was already in place. And Acts 2 and verse 47 now talks about adding then to that number of the believers that took place on the day of Pentecost. Daryl, in a sense, you get multiplication here. And so, for those that aren't Christians, which I don't see that we have any of this evening, I would go into a little bit more detail, but I think that you understand. And from time to time, I like to bring lessons like this that just deal with looking at Scripture and giving exegesis on them so that we have a proper understanding. But not only that, but also to test you a little bit. Are you digging enough in your studies? And I'll ask you, give feedback to me if I've missed this, if I've missed the point about Acts 2 and verse 41. Give me feedback on it. But don't just take what I say or any other preacher. Be a good Berean and open the Word of God and look into it. Use this in your studies with those that are not Christians, and you will run across some from time to time that will say, well, you know, the church was already in existence before Pentecost showed. But that's not the case. That's not the case. So hopefully there's been some learning, maybe some eye-opening just from this short, simple lesson. Some folks have moved all across the country this past week. And so I'm not going to belabor this anymore. I'm going to follow my rule of thumb: stand up, speak up, shut up. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.